Let's just lift our hands. Let's just thank God for what He's doing. Let's just invite Holy Spirit to come and minister to us while we're here this morning, this afternoon. Father, we thank You. We bless You. We exalt You. Now let's just sing one more song, and let's just wave our hands and thank the Lord as we enter this season, that He's beginning to stir up things in us that weren't stirred up in the last season. Now just sing out whatever's in your heart. Just bless Him. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, da 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 da. Father, we ask You, come and visit. Come and visit Solomon's porch. Lord, let Your glory dwell in this place and with this people. Father, favor this people as they go forth throughout this whole region and this city. Let them be made known in this city. Let them be sought after in this city. And I say in days ahead, I will make this place like a lighthouse. And this place will be known as that which directs and causes many to see the way into the dimension of glory that I have. I say I will begin to shake this region and open up ways for people to say, I must see my path ahead. And from Solomon's porch, You will shine a way and shine a light and direct many. This will be known as a directing house in days ahead. For a moment. You know, when I was thinking about what we would look at this morning before we ministered each one of you, the I went to the passage in John 10 where Solomon's porch is mentioned. And when you look at it in the context of where it is, it's really revealing the Lord and how he's got an abundance for us to enter into. And John 10 is about how the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but the Lord comes to bring life abundantly. And then verse 22 says, "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter." Now, when I read that, all of a sudden something quickened in me. And I'm going to ask you some things in a moment. I want you to ask me a few questions. When I read that, all of a sudden I thought, well, it must be by winter this year that God starts doing something new in Solomon's porch. That this was during Hanukkah time, and so during this time, this was a real shifting time, a new dedication time, a time to make a good shift. So Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them and said, "I told you and you don't believe. The works which I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, the phrase that spoke to me was, here at Solomon's porch, God said, "My sheep know my voice. They're able to comprehend what I'm saying. They're able to understand what I'm saying. They're able to know how to be directed by me." And so when I was looking at that, it seems like you are coming to a critical place in this ministry. And I look at all of you as the emerging leaders that will be rising up in this ministry to lead many forward in days ahead. And all of a sudden I said, "Lord, if I had one prayer for all this group, it would be that they know your voice. They know how to hear your voice. They know how to take what they hear and move forward with it. They know how to gain revelation and advance." Now, with that, I felt like it would be important to discuss some this morning, this afternoon, as we have this short time together before we pray for you, your concept of hearing God and the prophetic and the key to moving forward. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that without a vision, something happens to God's people. What happens to God's people without a vision? They perish. But what that word really means is without prophetic utterance. Same thing Jesus was saying here at Solomon's porch. If you're my sheep, you hear me. And as you hear me, vision expands in you, and you're able to see where you're going. Now, I believe God is going to use this group. He's raising up this group as a remnant that is quite capable of hearing, being positioned in the culture of society here in Hong Kong, and at the right time saying what God is saying, without even using the language God says, but you will know what the voice of the Lord says. Now, so with that, if you had a few questions you would want to ask that would better help you communicate where you're going in days ahead, let's ask those questions and let's see if we can, some of us could help answer some of those things for you. So don't hesitate either. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to want to know, how do you hear? How do you move forward? What's God doing in the church? How will we really be able to affect this region? What could God do with a group like this to use us, to advance us? What are some things you're hearing about in the body of Christ right now that you need answers on? And so whatever question you have, let's discuss a few things. And then we want to pray for each one of you as a team. And we want to ask God to activate your gifts in you in a whole new way.
Anyone? I guess it's a very fundamental question, but when you hear sort of a big picture of what God is doing, I guess individually, corporately, or in a community, and you kind of know what that is, but how do you learn to take small steps? Like how do you hear the specifics of what God wants you to do? Like, you may have the big vision, you may have the big picture, but sometimes you may not feel like God is telling you every step of the way. So how can you better understand that?
Well, first of all, I think you have to know overall what God's doing with his people at a certain time and in a certain place, because it's no different what God's doing with us in America in his kingdom plan than what he is doing with you in Hong Kong. It's no different. See, the Lord has a perfect timing where he's moving on his people. So that's why, in measure, we're all going through the same thing if we belong to him. Because he's got one kingdom plan, and then we're positioned territorially all over the world, and he's moving on us. Now, the territory we're positioned in influences how we activate that plan. Because even though the Lord might just be moving on all of us right now, we're in what many calls a whole new apostolic reformation, just like we were in during Luther's time. And then as we move forward into a whole new move of God during the 1800s and early 1900s, we're on the verge of a whole new move of God. So all over the world, that move of God will ripple. But in it, God must have his people positioned that can carry forth and do what they're doing. Now, her question is, how do you walk it out step by step by step? Well, I think it's real simple. I think all we have to do is to hear the Lord tell us that one thing that produces faith in us, and do that one thing. Then the moment you do the one thing that produces faith in you, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a scripture and verse. It means you've been impressed by Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you know exactly what you're supposed to do. The minute you do that, something opens up for you. And then you do the next step, and the next step, and before long, everything's taken care of. I know in my life, my wife and I, we got in a very difficult time once in our life. We, as I was sharing last night, we couldn't have children, and then she got pregnant. But during that time, I was moving in ministry, and I've always had key assignments in ministry, one with a large Baptist church in Houston, went into a building program. I was in the business world, but I had the skills that were necessary to lead that program. And so, actually, I was asked by the leadership, would I leave my secular job and come and lead the program for them? So that's how the Lord got me in ministry. Now, he had called me in ministry when I was in college, my second year of college. I was in pre-med, and I went to a Baptist student union state convention, and I was there, and they gave a missions call, and all of a sudden I heard the Lord speak to me and say to me, I've called you for the healing of the nations. Now, when I say that, you hear in your spirit man, and then your mind aids your spirit. Well, I just assumed I would finish getting my medical degree and end up in Africa somewhere, you know, because that was the only concept I had of missions. And that really was not in my heart to do. That wasn't the type of individual I was, but that was the only paradigm I knew at the time. So I just continued doing what I was doing. I actually switched out of pre-med and went into business operations, and probably was running a little from the Lord, even though I was serving the Lord faithfully. I was running from him a little because I didn't really want to end up going that direction. And so you see what God does after he found the way to get me back in ministry. Now I've visited 140 nations. I've called you for the healing of the nations. All I had to do was to do what he asked me to do. Now, here's how you hear him. And it's not really the way you think sometimes, because when my wife got pregnant, 3 months into the pregnancy, she contracted 3 of the 5 viruses that deform the fetus. And so one of those is difficult and disastrous on the unborn child, but she had 3 of the 5. And it was just an attack from the enemy. And so actually in it, she lost use of her arm. All sorts of things began to happen. The doctors told us the baby would be deformed, and he had to tell us legally so we could choose to abort if we wanted to abort. But my wife made a statement, a faith statement, when we were in his office. She said, I equate this child to revival, since we couldn't have children. And I've chosen to carry revival no matter if it's deformed or not. And so it was really interesting when she made that faith statement. And then really, Bo, we left the office. Then she fell apart. It was good. But this Catholic doctor was greatly affected by it. You know, I mean, he was just overwhelmed by it. So she said, and I'm going to walk by faith in this pregnancy, and you're going to have to choose to walk with me if you can walk with it. She never would have a sonogram. Never would have anything. But what happened during all that, here we're in this crisis. She's lost use of her arm. I have left a major role in industry, which the Lord had blessed me abundantly in. And we were now serving, being over the second largest children's home in Texas. And I got a bill for taxes from one of the retirement accounts that I'd cashed in and stock plans that I'd cashed in when I left my job 3 years prior. We had all these issues. I listed them. There were 7 major issues in our life, and I took those issues that night, and I was so overwhelmed by the Lord. I went out. I got down on my knees. I held them up to the Lord. I wrote them out. And this is how simple it is sometimes to hear God. I wrote them out. I held them up to the Lord. And I said, Lord, read this mess. What in the world am I going to do with all this? And the Lord spoke to me. We had $76 in our bank account. And the Lord spoke to me and said, tomorrow, buy your wife a new dress. All I had to do was buy my wife a new dress. I got up the next day. We were off. It was Easter weekend, and we went out. I bought her a new dress, and I realized how much the Lord loved her, because she's just a gifted lady. She had always made a dress every time during that time of year, and now she couldn't because of her arm. And so I bought her this dress. We had enough money to go eat at a cafeteria. I had $3 left. We went to church on Sunday. When they passed the plate, you know, the offering, I just put those $3 in because I realized that wasn't going to help me do anything ever again. And I just assumed at that time that heaven would just open up. And we were sitting there, and we were in a church of about 2,500, and we were sitting there, and all of a sudden the pastor began to preach on how healing was not for today. Now, here we're in this mess. We've got this diagnosis over this child, my wife's arm like this, and I'm expecting heaven to come down, and he's preaching how awful, how healing isn't for the church today. Well, I just want to crawl under the seat. I just want to just say, God, get me out of here. And all of a sudden, my wife is up in the choir, and it's about a 140-member choir. All of a sudden, in the middle of this awful, awful message that's going on, she stands up and starts waving her hand like this, and I thought, what is she doing? First of all, I've always been known of raising my hands and shouting and screaming. She's never done anything, and this is not the time to be praising God, you know. And so we got out in the car, and I said, what, did you hear that awful message? She said, what message? She said, listen, I reached down to pull up my pantyhose after the offering, and my arm went totally free on me, and the Spirit of God just came down my arm. I said, he preached that healing wasn't for today. She said, well, God didn't listen to him, evidently. Look. One by one, everything began to line out. See? Same way with your vision. All you got to do is do what you're supposed to do. Sometimes it's going to be dependent upon you when you come together corporately. You're going to be in a meeting here, and you know corporately you've got to move forward as a group. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God's going to come down on you. You're going to do a faith act here in this place, and the next week, everything just starts opening up. Because, see, it's really not just about us individually. It's about us corporately as well. So, to answer your question, really, it's just doing the one thing, but also knowing that you're dependent upon those that you're aligned and connected with. So that's something I would like to address, because I do feel it's very important that you understand that the gifts are aligned, and how they operate in that alignment really many times breaks you through into your future. So, I would say sometimes you're going to come here to a gathering, because that's what church is. Church is, we gather. But yet we gather, and in the process of gathering, we gain our war strategy. You leave here not only built up, you leave here not only fellowshipping, but you know, here's our next step that we're to do. And then God will send somebody to favor or be favored so his work can keep going. And so that becomes really important as you move forward, and especially in a young group like you. I say young, you know, most of you are mid, you know, on the verge, about like the Lord. Time for you to really create a ruckus out there. Because, you know, he was 30 and he created a big mess. So Solomon's porch could create a big mess right now, you know. I mean, that would be great, you know, that you would just stir up all of Hong Kong. You'd just be a group that would turn the world upside down from Hong Kong. And you know, that's what was so blessed. I was blessed when I was Larry and Becky told me that they had aligned here with you. I just felt like this is a young, vibrant group that can start hearing God and moving forward. Now, what other questions could I help you before I share a couple of things? Yes, sir.
I mean, now, you know, since we're talking about hearing God's voice, you know, even in your example, you said you're praying and then you felt God saying, buy your wife a new dress. Now, I mean, maybe it's a fundamental question, but how do you know that it is really from God? Because I think sometimes my problem is I heard so many of these testimonies. Sometimes I think I just imagine, I mean, sometimes I think I imagine like the craziest ideas. And I go, wait, is that from the Lord? Is that from myself? You know, like, how do I really know? Do I have to just try, do it, and then make mistakes a lot? Or Yeah, I don't know.
That's a real good question, because now the Lord, remember here at Solomon's porch, he said, my sheep know my voice. And so here at Solomon's porch, I think you are to be a place where people learn the voice of God. Now, first of all, knowing the voice of God is going to come by one thing I did, and I'll just share with me, is I knew I needed to know the Word. So I believe the Lord has written to us His book of life. And so one thing I did, I went through once and looked at every place God spoke and underlined it. Then I looked at every place Jesus spoke and underlined it, so I could get a feel of how they communicated. See? And then I underlined every place the Spirit spoke. And you say, well, they're one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, they are one, but they express themselves differently. So I realized I was going to have to learn how they express themselves. And then I also underlined every place Father spoke. And I find that a lot of people don't know Father's voice, because they don't have a good relationship with Father. They don't know how to communicate with Father. Therefore, they don't know how He communicates. And then there's times when the Word of God says the Spirit expressly spoke. So I also realized I was going to have to get to know my spirit. Now, this is probably where you struggle a little. And especially in more of an intellectual type of setting, you have to understand that you are made in His image. So He has made you spirit. So the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. So once you get to know the Spirit of God, and once you get to know your spirit, then you know when He's speaking to you. You bear witness. And it's not just some crazy idea. You'll know, I think I heard the Lord just say this to me. Then you'll meditate on it. Remember what Mary said? All sorts of things were being prophesied about the Lord. And the Word of God says she pondered it in her heart. See, so the heart overlays the mind. The mind and the heart and the spirit are interchangeable in the Word of God. Now, I think where you probably get confused is your brain. But we all have one. Look at somebody and say, I know you got one. So what you have to learn to discern is the freedom that you have in your spirit and your heart, because the heart speaks. And this is what Becky helps you with in deliverance. The heart speaks. And so your heart can get free, but then you have to recategorize the information in your brain. Now, this is one thing that I want to say to us, because this is what the Lord asked me to do when I was 18, when He visited. I shared with you last night, He visited me when I was 18. And my third year in college, He spoke this. I felt Him impress upon me to do this. He impressed me that I was to get to know the Word in such a way that I never had to open the book. See, therefore, my heart was so aligned with His Word that if I didn't have the book, I could have my daily Bible reading. See, now that takes lots of discipline. And it takes a lot of discipline, but what it does is, I came to realize something, that I was part of a kingdom that was beyond the kingdoms of this world. And if I would learn to communicate the language of that kingdom, I could rule the kingdoms of this world. And I think that's something that's really not taught in God's, for a better word, church. That we have the ability to gain knowledge here that is way beyond any knowledge that can be communicated in the world. And because of that, once you fill your heart with that knowledge, something happens. And let me show you what one verse says over in Hebrews chapter 5. And I think this will be a verse for you to meditate on. We'll start with verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first